Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. You're none more worthy of all praise and honor and glory to your name. And Father, we thank you for this precious time to come together and acknowledge you corporately, to worship you, and to lift up our hearts and our voices of praise to you. Father, we thank you for this time together. We just continue to lift up our pastor. We thank you, Father, for your continual hand at work. Father, that you would continue to stir up faith within him and peace and strength and all that he needs. Father, you are the great I am. And we believe whatever it is he needs now, you know all the intimate details and you are what he needs. We thank you, Father, for sending our dear brother Dave Landis to minister the word of God to us. We appreciate his faithfulness and relationship with our dear pastor and his wife and with our body here. We thank you, Father, for stirring in his heart a word for this time, for this body, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to invite up our dear pastor, Dave Landis, to come up here. I've been pastor of Word of Grace Church in Harrisburg, not a stranger to this place, and a dear friend of our pastor as well. So thanks for being here.
How's that? Get the sound adjusted? Praise God. I'm happy to be with you today, and I believe God has a word for us. How many believe God has a word for us? Amen. Amen. I believe you. If we'll listen, he'll speak to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife wanted to come, but she was already committed to doing nursery at our church. And so she kept her commitment there. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let me get my stuff all in order here. All my electronic stuff. Amen. There we go. Amen. Amen. I don't want anybody falling asleep this morning. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the worship there, Brother Randy. Where did he get to?
Bringing some more.
Amen. I enjoy the worship here. I'm an old 60s rock and roller, so I fit right in here with this style. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, you heard about the guy that fell asleep in church? None of you ever done that, right? But he fell asleep, and all of a sudden he heard the pastor say, "Stand up, please." So he stood up real quick, and next thing he heard was, "Is there anybody else that would like to give $2,000 today in the offering?" So you don't want to fall asleep in church, amen? If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. And I do believe I have a word for this fellowship this morning. And I believe we're going to go from this place strengthened and not discouraged. But I believe faith will come by what? Hearing? Hearing by the word of God. Amen. That was my assignment years ago, to come to central Pennsylvania and to preach the word of faith. So I've been doing that faithfully for 40 some odd years now. I know I don't look over 30, but I am. Amen. But in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching. He said in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." How many realize by now we all get storms in our life?
Yes.
Some more storms than we would like to have. But the key to enduring through a storm is to have the right foundation. Amen? Amen. To have that foundation built upon what Jesus has said. And a lot of Christians don't know what he said. You in a church here that has been preaching the word, Pastor Bill, for years, you know what to believe. Amen? And You know, I was in construction for many, many years, building houses, and as a bricklayer by trade, we did foundations and everything else. In fact, I helped build this church here years ago, believe it or not, and volunteered and laid some blocks and bricks here. And Pastor Bill and I have been friends for many, many years now. And I know it's important to have good weather if you want to build. Trouble with a lot of believers, they don't do anything about building until the storm hits their house. It's important that we build our house before the storm hits, because it's hard to work in the rain and storm. In fact, in the construction, we went home when it rained and storms came. And I want to encourage you to take times when you're feeling good to get that foundation. Amen? Don't wait till a storm hits you with some kind of test or trial, whatever you might be going through. Build your house upon what Jesus has said and do the word. You don't want to be a hearer only. You know that word hearer there in the Greek is the word we use to describe someone who audits a class. You know, in college, sometimes you can just audit a class where you're not responsible taking the test. You're there just to hear what's being taught. But you as believers, we're not like that. We will be tested on what you've heard. How many realize that? Yes. We're going to look at some scriptures here today that again, remind us of the fact that life isn't just a life of just no problems, situations, tests, or trials. In fact, the more you hear the word, probably the more you'll be tested. But to much is given, much is what?
Required.
And the good thing about knowing what God has said is knowing what Jesus has said, when that test or trial comes upon your life, you'll weather that storm. Amen? Amen. In fact, we're going to look at the subject of patience here today. How many think you could use more patience? In fact, if I was going to title this message today, I would call it, Hurry Up, God. How many ever had that? Felt that way, like, come on, God, where are you sleeping? What's going on? But the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 11, to consider the patience of Job, you know, not to consider everything else he said and did, because, you know, he didn't have the revelation we have of God, but we're to consider his patience. In other words, he didn't give up. Amen? Patience is that ability to weather the storm, to remain steadfast, the same, unshakable, not giving in to the pressures. And we can do that if we do the sayings of Jesus. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but that's all right. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 and look at a couple of verses here that'll back this up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. He says, For ye have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So again, we have to do the will of God. We got to hear it first of all, so that we can do it and act upon that. But then we need patience, that spiritual force of patience to keep us constant or to be the same like Jesus is yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? That's what patience will do. It'll cause you to be stable in the midst of your test or your trial. Amen. A lot of believers have what we call little faith. Remember, Jesus was crossing Sea of Galilee one time, a storm arose, and the disciples were, you know, Jesus, you know, wake up. Don't you know we're sinking? And he said, Oh, ye of little faith. Study that word little faith there. It's talking about short-lived faith. You know, you can have short-lived faith. You know what short-lived faith is? That's excitable faith. You hear a good message. Bless God, I'm going to go do that word. And you get out there, and all of a sudden the storm hits you again, and you think, oh, man, is it worth this effort? But we as believers need to have long-lived faith. Faith that keeps speaking to the mountain. Doesn't give in. Doesn't throw in the towel. Amen? You know, you can throw in the towel, but I'm not a quitter. My mom took a picture back in the days when they had, was it 8mm cameras? Then they had 16. I think it was 8mm. I have it on copy at home. But I was putting a snowman building a snowman, the head kept falling on the ground. I kept sticking that thing up, and she has it on film. She says, you never were a quitter. I finally got that head to stick on top of that snowman. Amen. You just can't quit. And I'm here today to encourage just you as a congregation, don't quit with your faith.
Yes.
Don't let it be short-lived. Take the promises of God And after you've done the will of God, you have need of that patience. Let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you can become perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, the manifestation that you desired when you prayed will manifest. So I want to encourage your faith not to give up. You, for you personally and what you may be dealing with, or as we're praying for Pastor Bill and the family, again, keeping your faith on that mount. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Again, we live in a society that wants microwave results. How many remember when the microwave first came out? Some of you, we're that old. I remember we got one, and my mom says, "Whatever you do, don't stand in front of it. Don't stand in front of it." You know, we didn't understand all the logistics of microwave stuff at that time. I guess, who knows, it could have done damage. But, you know, we want things right away. We want, you know, just drive through. Nobody wants to wait. Everybody's in a hurry. If you don't believe that, just get on the highway. And what, if anything, I have to deal with is my patience when I'm driving, because people, I do keep the speed limits. I want it on my gravestone someday. Here lies David who kept the laws. Never had a traffic ticket. Told my wife to put that, I don't know if she will or not. But, but everybody's in a hurry. I'll say, "Where are you going?" I yell at people, "Get up earlier," you know. But anyhow, everybody's in a hurry. And sometimes with our faith, we get that way. If we don't see the manifestation tomorrow or right now, we give up and quit. And that's not what faith is all about. Faith is, again, moving mountains into the sea. The fact that the word patience has in its meaning also, it means this, to be under and to stay or to remain bearing the load. Again, pressures can be like a load, can wear you out. And we have to, again, have that bulldog kind of faith. You know what I mean? You just latch onto it and say, "I'm not giving up." Like Caleb said, "That's my mountain. I want it." It may have been 40 years later, and he said, "I still want my mountain." And that's what should be our attitude as believers when we have the promises of God. What does Ephesians 6:7 say, or 17 say? It says, "And having, after having done all," what? "Stand therefore." Be willing to stand. Again, and while you're standing, James 1:6, let's go there with me. James 1:6, another familiar verse. I'm here putting you in remembrance this morning. How's that? "But let him ask in faith, nothing," what? "Wavering. For he that," did I tell you what verse to go? Verse 6. "For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So again, when the pressures of life are on us, no matter what you may be hearing, what kind of reports you're getting, you have to remain stable. You have to remain unmovable. You can't be wavering one minute saying, "Well, I believe God's word's true," and the next minute, "I'm not sure." You say, "How do I get to that point?" By hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of faith. I remember about two and a half years ago, I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks with some death sentences over my life. You know, sometimes they don't give you good reports, do they? Usually if you're in the hospital, it's not a good thing anyhow. But, you know, I'm glad I was retired, because I didn't have the care of the church in my life at that time. I could, you know, it's a nice thing about stepping down and letting someone else take over. I could put all that emphasis on my own spiritual walk and just concentrate on what God wanted to do in my life. And I just began to soak myself with healing scriptures. Keith Moore has a great series on healing. Remember, you know Keith Moore out, he taught the healing school at Rhema for many years. And other men of God that taught me how to stand and just to remind myself of who I was in Christ and to put pressure back on that mountain that was trying to overtake my life. And I thank God that I had that time to do it. Pastor Bill, you know, I believe we need to give him some space where he can, you know, the Bible talks about the cares of the churches. As a pastor, you care. You just do. If you don't care about the church, you're not a pastor. it consumes your life. People's lives, where they are spiritually, what they're being fed and how they're doing. It's on your mind constantly. And you sometimes forget about taking care of yourself when you're in that situation, because you're always caring about others, which isn't bad, but you can neglect your own spiritual health and strength. And I, in conversation with Pastor Bill, I can tell he's very weak now and very, because of what he's been going through. And we're asking you as a congregation to give him some space, give him some time to recover himself. Amen. And stand with him. I'll say more about that at the end here today. But anyhow, after having done all what? Stand, therefore. And, you know, sometimes you get tired of standing. How many ever stood for a long period of time? In the natural, we get tired, don't we? I remember in the military, in the Army, they would have us, you know, hold our weapons out like this here, you know. You can do that for a couple of minutes, but after minutes and minutes go by, you know, you're like, oh, and you're just standing there. But just the pressure of lives can cause us to want to give up and to quit. And I'm here today to say, don't quit.
That's right.
Keep your faith on that mountain. Amen? Nothing wavering. Again, everyone has to deal with doubt and with their patience. I remember growing up, and I couldn't wait till I was 12 years old so I could go deer hunting. Any men like that? I came from a hunting family. I remember my dad and all his brothers would come in the morning. I couldn't wait till I was 12 so I could go out in the woods with them and hunt. Then I couldn't wait till I was 16 so I could get my driver's license. How many remember that? Then I remember I couldn't wait till I was 18, then I could move out of the house. And I did at 18. I moved out because my mom said, you're going to pay rent if you're staying here. I was trying to think how much I paid. It was almost like $100 a month. That's a lot of money back in those days. But that included food. Wish you could live for $100 a month nowadays, don't you? And that, you know, growing, just many things you couldn't wait till that would happen in your life. But eventually it came. Amen. I remember I thought, someday I'll be 65 and I can get on Medicare and all that stuff and retire. And I'm already past that point now. It's amazing how quickly life goes by. But anyhow, we need to let patience have its perfect work. 2 Peter 1, 2. Go there with me. 2 Peter 1, 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You know, you people say, I need to have some peace in my life. I need to have some grace. Well, you need to get some knowledge. Amen? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these what? It's exceeding great and precious promises. The Word of God, the thing you have in your hand, your lap, the Bible. We might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So again, we've been given promises that by these we can escape some of the things that the devil's throwing at us, that life throws at us. Amen. Look at Mark chapter 4 now. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Let's look at some things that come at us to steal the Word in our life. Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand the other ones. It's the most important parable in the Bible. And it's all about the sower sowing the Word. And again, it's the Word in our life that the devil comes to get out of our lives. He knows if that Word takes root in your heart, it'll produce fruit. Whether it's a word of healing, whether it's a word of prosperity, whether it's a word of whatever. The love walk, you know, all that will produce that in your life, and he's out to steal it. He says in verse, let me start here in verse 15. Again, the sower sows the Word. I'm a sower of the Word there today. That's been my ministry. I just sow the Word. What happens to it after you get it is up to you. You know, I want to put a disclaimer. I'm not responsible for what happens after you hear me preach. You know, you're the hearers. You have hearts. What are you going to do with what you hear? You can be like verse 15, and these are by the wayside where the Word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come how soon? Immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. See, that's that short-lived faith there. Afterward, when affliction, that's troubles, all right, trials, tests, or persecution. That's if someone says, I don't like you. Jesus said if people say all good about you, then you're in trouble. So that's a good thing. Or persecution arises for the word's sake. Again, it's not because of you, but because of the word you're receiving. Immediately they are offended, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. See, there's things out there that will choke what you've heard. You understand that? In fact, that's why we have to be careful what we hear, who we hang around with, who we share things with. People can rob you of the word that you are hearing. Remember the 12 spies went in the promised land? They came back. 10 had an evil report. What was that evil report? Well, it looks like what everything God said, but but there was Joshua and Caleb said, you know, let's do what God said. We're able. It's already ours. Let's go take the land. And again, because the people listened to the 10 negative reports, the Bible calls that an evil report, anything that's contrary to what God has said. Amen. So if you get an evil report and says, you know, you're going to die or whatever, that's an evil report. Amen. You can't pay your bills, that's an evil report. Yes. Or you can't whatever. It's what God has said, the promise that God has said that is true, that will get you through that circumstance, the situation. But he says here, the cares of this world. Well, that's a big one. But what are we supposed to do with cares? Cast them on the Lord. Amen? For he careth for you, Peter says. You got to give them to Jesus. You can't. Cares will steal the word out of your life. You'll quit thinking about the word and start looking at that mountain. And the mountains really look bigger at times, don't they? Amen. But in the midst of that, if you let that word have root in your heart and grow, in verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Yes. So it's up to you what you get out of what you hear. It's up to you. I can't make you do the word. I can't make you hear the word. In fact, that word in the Greek is the word rhema. Mr. Ironside, who has a commentary, he says it's a picture of a man and woman leaving church talking about what they heard. We need to talk the word, because faith will come by what you hear. Again, that's important, to who you talk the word to, because some people will talk you out of the word. You know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you, I've had some people thought they were helping me. And I'm not listening. I want to hear what God's saying. Amen? You better hear what God's saying in the midst of your storm. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. So there's things that will rob us of or choke the word, as the Bible says. I keep that word from growing fruit in your life. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Paul is writing this to Timothy, encouraging him, his faith. He says, verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Again, the faithful word. God is faithful to what? His word. He watches over his word to perform it, to hasten it, to bring it to pass, Jeremiah says. When you have a promise from God, you got to hold fast on that thing, because the devil's trying to steal it from you. He don't want you prospering. He doesn't want you in health. He wants you sick and poor and devastated and just discouraged and everything else. He gets glory out of that. But God gets glory when we stand up and stand and get the promise fulfilled in our lives. I know I'm preaching to the choir here today, but that's good. You know what that means when preachers say that all the time? Choirs are always there. Amen. You're a faithful group. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 with me here. You got to hold fast. And in the midst of that holding fast, you can get weary. You can get tired. You can throw in the towel. But I'm telling you today, don't give up. Don't give up. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. Let's keep this in a context of verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, you need to mix faith in what you hear. Amen. Again, he's referring here to the Israelites as they were about to go to their promised land. Some didn't mix faith with what they had heard. They mixed fear with what they had heard. But Joshua and Caleb, they mixed faith. They said, we are well able to take the land. Amen. They agreed with what God has said. And that's what confession is all about. You say the word confession, it means to agree with or say the same thing as. People say, oh, that confession stuff. No, you better be confessing something. You'll be confessing your fear or you'll be confessing your faith. And just about every day I go through a confession sheet. I get it out. I have memorized. And I confess who I am in Christ. I confess all the promises of God for my life because it stirs up my faith. I mix faith with what I've heard. You can mix fear. It's easy to do that. Just watch television. They'll tell you what kind of disease you have and what, you know. And if you take the medicine they're trying to advertise, then you have a whole bunch of other things that you have to deal with.
Side effects.
I'm not telling you to go that direction. You know, God will meet you where your faith level is. You understand that? But he says here, mix faith with what they heard. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, though the works were already finished from the foundation of the world. See, there's a rest in God where we can come place that we're not fearful, we're not anxious, we're at peace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. And no matter how bad the news is, you're not going to give in to it. You're thinking on these things that are good, that are lovely, of a good report. Remember, Peter says, think on these things. And see, in a battle, it's a battle. How many agree it's a battle? Fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
Well, what is it? That's a fight that's already been won, but there's a battle that must be fought. And that battle is in your mind, basically, where the devil keeps putting thoughts in itself. Years ago, I don't know if I give his testimony here, but I had some trouble with my liver. I didn't know it. I had a physical done, and I had a test, and they said, you have some liver issues. That's not a good thing. You need liver to live. Amen? It's in the word, liver. And so I said, Doc, you know, give me a couple of weeks and test me again. He said, well, it's your money. So we did that. But I remember going out in the car and I said, Lord, I thank you. Your promises say that I'll be satisfied with long life. This was years ago and I wasn't very old then. And I wasn't satisfied yet. Amen. I'm still not satisfied. So I said, Father, I believe I received healing. I'm going to take your promise of healing. By his stripes, I am healed. And from this moment forth, I'm not going to say anything contrary to that. I will not agree with the doctor. In fact, your glory is going to be revealed by healing my liver. So I went home, told my wife, and she's the only one I told about it. And we just agreed that God's power was there, present to heal, and I was going to amend, hallelujah. And we want instantaneous things, but you know, the Bible does use the word amend.
Yes.
That means to become better. And sometimes it takes a little longer than we want to become better. But what do I do in that process of time? I become thankful. Amen. Let your request be named unto God with thanksgiving. Amen.
Yes.
And I become constant. Let patience get in there and do its work. Keep me the same so I'm not wavering. That I'm looking at the end result by faith in Jesus' name. I'm going to live till I'm done. Amen. Till I'm satisfied. Amen. God doesn't need me in heaven. I'm serious. The devil will put all kind of thoughts in your mind if you get in that bad report. But anyhow, I got home and I was watching television that night, and every commercial was about liver cancer. I mean, just one after another. Liver cancer, liver, take this, you need this and that. And then the next morning, I went out to breakfast with a brother, and the guy sitting behind us at the table was talking about somebody he knew just died of liver cancer. So the devil was playing with my mind, but I refused to accept those thoughts. Casting down thoughts, imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought. Capture that thought. How do you capture that thought? Say, no, I'm not going to think on that. I'm going to think on these good things. And how do you replace that thought? You replace it by speaking the word yourself. By his stripes, I'm healed. And that was the last deal I had to deal with, liver. Thank God for that. That I know of. I mean, and I believe I was healed. And I went back and they retested me and it was fine. So it was good. Hallelujah to Jesus. But there's a place you can enter into that rest. And if you don't have the foundation of the Word of God in your life, you're going to struggle resting in the midst of your storm. Now see, Jesus was the Word. What did he do in the storm? He went to sleep. That's resting. And you can do that by faith. You can't be led by your senses. We walk by faith, not by sight or senses, because your senses will lie to you. Your senses will go crazy on you. You just have to keep your mind set on what God has said. Amen. And that's, I'm not going to have short-lived faith here. I believe I'm not giving up. You know, so somebody said, what if you had died? Well, I'd have died in faith. Hallelujah. I'd rather step into that realm with the words of faith on my lips than some doubt and unbelief thing, choosing God of it, whatever. I would. Because it takes faith to what? Please God. Without it, you can't please him. What is faith? Taking his word, acting on it, believing it's true. Against all odds, sometimes. Amen. That the, again, enter into that rest, and it's we need rest when we're living by faith. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. I don't know what time it was when I started, so you'll have to forgive me. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Paul, the Apostle Paul went through hell, didn't he? Huh? He gives a list of all the stuff he suffered for the sake of the kingdom. You know, shipwrecks, dying three times, you know, stoned. Just, I'd have probably maybe thought about quitting. And through all the stuff that was thrown at him, he didn't really include the word sickness there or disease. You understand that? That word infirmity just means weaknesses. If you've been beaten, if you've been through he was through, you'd be weak too. And so he went to God about the thing. And in fact, he went to the Lord about three times about it. He said, you got to, I need some help here, God, in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Donna, his grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient for this church. Amen?
Yes.
What is grace? That's God's abilities released towards us. And you don't earn it. It's his love for us. He's healed us. He's saved us. He's delivered us. We just have to receive it and act our faith out now. My grace isn't sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Again, that grace will rest upon your life and give you peace where you can sleep and not worry or have cares of what's happening. And sometimes people think you're on drugs because you don't care. And I've told people, I don't care. I've learned not to care anymore. I get something that's trying to make me care, I take it and give it to Jesus. I'll write it on a piece of paper and say, here, take this, Jesus, it's yours. You said, cast all my cares on you, for you care for me. I can't handle this. It's too much of a burden. It would rob or choke the word in me, so I'm not going to care about it. Some people think, well, you're not walking in love. No, I care. And I don't say I don't care, because when one member suffers, we all suffer. So in a sense, it affects me when one brother or sister is going through whatever they're going through. And I want to see them come through the end. So I'll put my faith in there with them. Amen. And say, you know, I remember the story. You all heard of Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Seville. You know these two guys. And one time, I think it was Jerry. Jerry was just worn out. He was going through some financial situations in his ministry. It was really bad. People weren't giving, you know. And he had a lot going on. It was just becoming a burden to him. And Brother Copeland came to his office and said, Jerry, you go ride your motorcycle today. I'm going to take care of that mountain for you. You just don't worry about it. I'm going to stand and intercede and pray for you. And, you know, sometimes we need that because, you know, your mountain may look bigger to you than it does to me. Because I'm not faced with it 24 hours a day. But I can stand in the gap called intercession and begin to pray with you for that to be moved. In fact, I like what it said in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul was under pressure to leave a city because all the stuff was happening. And the Lord appeared to him and said, fear not, for I have much people in this city. See, when we come together as a church, as a body of Christ, we become a greater force. And I believe I'm asking you as a church to stand with Pastor Bill and his wife in this midst of this and not give up. Amen? There's power in agreement. We preach this stuff, but there's power when two or more are gathered in his name. He's there in the midst to make sure what we agree upon comes to pass. So I want you to pray for, keep your prayers in a greater depth. It's, you know, it was given another evil report, basically. I don't want to even talk about it, but we don't like evil reports. But we as a church can stand and pray and believe with them and draw strength. As Paul said, I need strength. You know, he got strength from the grace. And that encouraged him physically as well as mentally to press on and to get the victory that he desired. And Paul lived to be the aged. Amen. He lived to be the aged. And when he was ready to go, then he decided to go. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir. He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That power of grace in his life will strengthen him to get him on. That's what he said. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Well, when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, God pours his grace into weak vessels. If you think you don't need his grace, he's not going to pour grace into your life. And many times when you are weak, that's when you need the grace of God. And it's called humbling yourself. You know, us faith people, sometimes we walk around like, I have great faith. You just be careful. We tested on that one. I'm not saying don't confess you have great faith, but, you know, don't get prideful. You don't know what your faith does. You're under the pressure or something. But by faith, we live by faith. In fact, one translation said, the power of Christ descend upon me, working within me and giving me help. I like that. Amen. You know, it's called getting a second wind. You know what a second wind is? Some of you never experienced a second wind. Again, I'm an ex-military guy, basic training. They'd get us in forced marches back in those days, be 10 miles or more, with full pack gear. You know, out there in the Kentucky hot sun in the summertime, just sweating about thinking you're going to die. And all of a sudden you got a little extra oomph came in you, and you came in to press on, and you made it back to the barracks. There's times we need second winds. I know this family could use a second wind. Amen?
That's right.
And it's called the wind of the Holy Spirit, who will breathe on us and strengthen us and cause us, yes, we can do this. Let's stay on track. Let's keep our faith on the mountain. Amen?
That's
right. But Paul tell Timothy, be strong in the grace of God. Be strong in it. It'll give you strength. He told him to endure hardness as a soldier in the kingdom of God. Amen. How about hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. Again, mixed faith with what you've heard. A couple verses here yet. 1 John 5:14, if you go there with me. 1 John 5:14. I say Little John. How's that? The book of Little John. Verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence. That means boldness, assurance. Amen. That we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That implies if we ask something that's not according to His will, He doesn't listen to us. How many parents do we have here? You've had kids ask you for stuff that was not your will. What'd you do? Ignore them or tell them you're not getting that. Many times God just says, hey, you must ask according to my will. Well, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, get to church and find out. Open your Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you.
Yes.
We have a copy of His will called the Bible. So if we ask anything according to His will, he hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Well, that gives you boldness or confidence with your faith. That's why we pray. That's why we ask according to His will. What is His will? That we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. Amen? There are so many promises in the Word of God. These exceeding great and precious promises. Latch on to it. Hold fast to it. Don't let the devil steal it from you. Amen? How about another verse here in 1 Corinthians 15:58? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Thank you, Jesus. Paul's always thanking God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 57. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Again, steadfast. That means don't be wavering back and forth. Don't be changing your confessions. Don't be unmovable. Stand. Amen. And what will happen? That victory will manifest in your life. Again, I want to encourage you to stand in faith. Psalm 67. I won't go there yet. I lied. I give one more verse. Psalm 67. This is one I was thinking about this early, about 4 o'clock this morning. The Lord was waking me up, just giving me some things to say here today. And I like this passage here. Again, faith calls those things as what be not as though they are done. Amen. Psalm 67, verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then, say then. See, people want something, then they're going to praise God. No, it says praise then. Then what? Shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. See, faith praises before it sees the manifestation. Now, my body is made of the earth. So every time the devil attacks my body, I say, body, you were healed by the stripes of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. That was healed 2,000 years ago. Jesus carried that to the cross, bore my pains, bore my sin, did all that so that I could be free from it. So body, you get better in Jesus' name. You amend. Like I said, I've had a lot of things diagnosed in the last 2.5 years that have, the doctors are amazed that I'm even alive, which I am. What can I say? I'm just there. I live by faith. I'm not going to die until I'm ready. Now, you know, someday you may hear Dave Landis pass away. You know I was ready, all right? I'm not going to go until I'm done. And I know I retired from pastor, but I didn't retire from ministry. And the Lord is, in fact, I thought I would get some time off. I know my wife and I do a lot of stuff, but we're busy on the weekends. We're still preaching the word, different churches doing stuff. I preach in my old church. And I'm still doing World War II reenactment. And I'm a chaplain there. I get the priest to unsave people. It removed me out of my comfort zone because I'm used to church people. And I get preached to people now that never go to church, never been in a church. And it's been really good. I was just at, we had a big event in Reading here recently, this past summer. We have over 1,000 reenactors show up for that thing at the Air Museum there. And all these officers came, they sat in the front row, like officers do. Boy, I'm not used to all these sinners sitting in the front like this. Everybody started clapping. And I had their attention. But God's been good. And He'll be good to all those who serve Him and follow Him. So I'm here to encourage you again with your faith. And to, again, Pastor Bill has a serious diagnosis. I'll just use those terms. I'll let Donna tell you what. Should I say what it is? Mesothelioma has been diagnosed in Pastor Bill. And they say it can lie dormant in someone's life for 40 years. He worked at a factory, I guess, at one point when he was younger. And that's a form of cancer. They can treat it, the way I understand, to some limit, I guess, that they can lengthen his life. So we're believing that they can do what they can do. And let God do the rest. Amen. And so we're going to need your prayers in these upcoming days and months. Amen. And as a church, I appreciate you that have stuck here doing this whole thing. And we're going to bring some supply ministers in to feed the flock and keep us fed. And you'll not be without the word. How's that?
Hallelujah.
But I encourage you to pray for the mercy of God. You know, Paul prayed for one of his fellow workers and he said, God had mercy on him. Remember, he was going to die. God had mercy on him. And that's one of the prayers you can pray. Lord, have mercy on Pastor Bill. Strengthen his faith.
Yes.
And strengthen Donna's, because she's right there looking at that mountain too every day. We may not be looking at that mountain because we're doing other things. But listen to the Holy Ghost. This church is not done, amen? You got when people ask me about this church, I said, man, they got a strong church. I always said this is a strong church of young men and believers and families. It's a great church. And the devil doesn't like that. Doesn't like that one bit, does he? But anyhow, hallelujah. Keep him in prayer. I've been praying for Pastor Bill. Because Pastor Bill and I had basically the same symptoms here a couple years ago. Mine have somewhat improved, which praise God for that. And I'm believing His will too. Amen. But I had a fifth stage chronic kidney disease pronounced over me. That's not good news. But my creatinine level's already coming down. Hallelujah. They don't know how to deal with it because it doesn't come down for people. It goes up. But I talk to my body. I refuse to agree with them when they tell me this or that. They already cut me back to 2 days for dialysis. It was 3. So we're good. We're beating this thing by faith. Amen. You can beat it. You can fight it. Or you can give in to it and go home early and we'll miss you. Amen. But fight the good fight of faith. God's will be done in your life and your bodies. Father, I just pray. I put my faith in agreement with this church for Pastor Bill. We love him. We thank you, Lord, that there will not be misdiagnoses here. There will not be mistakes made. There will not be... You'll just give even the medical science wisdom. I thank you, Lord, for his faith. I thank you, Lord, we agree with him and Donna for them seeing the manifestation of healing and wholeness in his body. We're going to do our part by praying in agreement, not saying things contrary to your word or your will. We'll not give evil reports to people that like the gossip. We'll not spread things around about this or that because we don't know. But we'll say only what your word says, that by his stripes, the stripes of Jesus, Pastor Bill is healed.
Yes.
And he's amending. And we'll give you glory for it. Strengthen him even this moment now in Jesus' name as he lies there in that bed. Thank you, Lord God, that his heart will be encouraged, that his faith will become steadfast, And we thank you for it ahead of time, Lord God. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus, we ask this. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I believe in the impossible. I recently was invited to pray for someone at a hospital who was diagnosed with a dementia. Well, he's back home already, fine. I said, well, thank you, Lord. You must have threw that gift in there somewhere, because I could tell you what he didn't know how to believe. His dementia, he didn't even know who I was. You know what I mean? We prayed for him. He's home. His wife said he's normal again. It's a cure for everything. If you remember the disciples, Jesus said, go cure diseases. We got the cure. We just got to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, glory to God. Get anything out of this morning?
Yes.
That was a tough assignment to come and share that with you this morning. But you're strong enough in faith. You know, some churches just go, rah, and cry. And, no, we don't, you know, we don't give up. We're getting a second wind here. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Anybody need prayer here this morning for your physical body? We can pray here for you. The power of the Lord is always present to heal. He likes to confirm His word with signs and wonders. And I'll be willing to pray for you or with you here. Amen. God's power is present to heal.